Shalom, this is Eli Rothberger from the Yeshiva Passaic Lefton. We are continuing our Daf HaShavua Insights to the Daf series. Today's Daf is Maseches Chagiga Daf Chavav. The Shir is being learned, Le'ili Nishmas, my father, Harav Yosef Meir Ben Chaim Kochman, Zichron Levracha, as well as to Erez Naftali's father, Avram Shaul Ben Shulamit Salma, Zichron Levracha. May the Neshamas have an Aliyah. And the topic of today's Shir is the miracle of the Lechem Hapanim. The Gemara on Daf Chavav Manav tells us Yom Tov was a special time in the Beis HaMikdash. One such example of the uniqueness of the Beis HaMikdash in Yom Tov is regarding Ami Aretz. Normally, Ami Haaretz carried the status of Tumah. And when the Ami Aretz came to the Beis HaMikdash, however, their Tumah status was suspended. The Gemara quotes a pasuk of from Sefer Shoftim, which tells us Vayasef kol ish Yisrael el ha'ir ki ish echad chaverim, that everybody from Yisrael were gathered to the city, each one was like a chaver. And the Gemara tells us that we were given a status when they were all gathered together. They were given the status of a chaver. The Rashi telling us, when did everybody gather together? Everybody gathered together on Yom Tov. Now, of course, while this is not a din Torah, in fact, this is an asmachta. There's a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam as to the reason for this din. Rashi says because we don't want to be mevayish to Ami Haaretz. The Rambam says because there is a halacha that chayiv adam mataras atzma lifnei haregel. So it could be assumed that the Ami Haaretzim, Ami Haaretz took a way of pronouncing that. The Ami Haaretz did not follow this halacha, and they knew of this halacha, so then they were retired themselves. But it's not a complete bona fide tahara, as the Gemara tells us that there's a machlokas later on between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in the Mishnah on Chavav, that what happens to the barrels of wine that the Ami Haaretz touched when they were purchasing it over Yom Tov. The Chachamim say that after Yom Tov they become Tameh, and Rashi explains that Tumah goes back to Mafreya. And Rabbi Yehuda agrees, says that no, it doesn't become Tameh, it can still be used. But the reason why Rabbi Yehuda will allow it is because, not because really it should become Tahar, really it should become Tameh as well. Except we're afraid that if we don't allow them to do it, then the Chaverim will never want to sell wine to an Am Aretz on Yom Tov because they're going to lose a lot of money. Either way we look at it, we can focus on the Rashi, on that Chavav and Aleph, which tells us that the Tumah was Chozer Lemafreya. Right? Chozer Tumah Lemafreya. And therefore, it was what we would call a suspended Tumah. Now, this suspended Tumah impacts not only the things that were sold, but it also impacts the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash itself. The Mishnah tells us the following. Misha Avar HaRegel, when Yom Tov finished, Hayum Aviran Al Ta'aras HaZar, they would remove the Kalim, and because of the need to have the Azara pure, and they will be tovel all the kelim that were touched on Yom Tov by an Am Aretz. And basically, every kli was assumed to have been touched by an Am Aretz. Mishnah on the bottom of Chavav, the way bottom of Chavav tells us, however, Matbilas HaKelim Sheyub Ben Mikdash, they will be tovel all the kelim, V'orim Lahem, and they would say to them, on Yom Tov, Yizaru, be careful. Do not touch the shulchan and make it impure. Now, first of all, who was this referred to? So both Rashi and Tosafot say this was directed to the Kohanim Ami Aretz, who would enter the Azara on Yom Tov, and when they would come inside the Azara to bow down, and they would come into the Heichal, so they were told, be very careful, do not touch the shulchan, because they're not able to take the shulchan out to be tovel. And of course, the Gemara wants to know why not. So the Gemara tells us that the shulchan has a din of tamid. Tamid means literally always, all the time. And the rule is the shulchan must always remain in the Beis HaMikdash. Parenthetically, this is why, when they would place the Lechem Hapanim in the Shulchan, they would position the new loaves behind the old ones to make sure that there was no time that the shelves remained unoccupied. Where does this requirement come from? This is based on the pasuk in Parashas Truma, which tells us, "Benasata al shulchan lechem hapanim lefanai samid." And we see that because there is this concept of tamid, should the shulchan become tame, there will be no way to remove the shulchan, take it out, and bring it to the mikvah. So therefore, they told the kohanim who are amei haaretz, and as I think actually, Dati, they told everybody, because especially if we're going to take Rashi's approach, we don't want to be mevayish the amei haaretz, we wouldn't be just warning them, we'd be warning everybody, that no kohanim should touch the shulchan on Yontif, lest they make it tummy. The Gemara, however, challenges this premise with an objection based on Hilchos Tumah. There was a rule in Hilchos Tumah of the following. The rule tells us a kli eitz ha'asui l'nachas. If you have a wooden utensil and it's asui l'nachas means it's made to be stationary. It's not made to be moved. We spoke about something like that last week. The Shida, Teva, Migdal, these giant type of boxes where it's just impossible to carry them around when they're filled up. These type of receptacles are not Roy L'Kabal Tumah. The Gemara wants to know, based on this pasuk of Tamid, the Shulchan then would be considered, or should be considered, a Kli Eitz Ha'asui L'Nachas. Ah, you're going to tell me, wait a second, wasn't the Shulchan gold? So the Gemara already on Daf Chav Zayin and Aleph later on deals with that objection and says that even though it was gold-plated, it still retains the din of a Kli Eitz based on a Pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel. So keeping that in mind, we wanted to know why would a Shulchan be susceptible to Tumah in the first place? It's Kli Eitz Haroyi, it's a Kli Eitz Haroyi L'Nachas, and a Kli Eitz Haroyi L'Nachas is not Mikabel Tumah. So the Gemara tells us that actually they used to mold the Shulchan, and the Shulchan was not considered to be Roy L'Nachas. What do you mean? How would they move the Shulchan? So the Gemara tells us the following thing. The Gemara tells us, Shemag bin Oso, they would lift it up, Umarin Oso La'oli Regalim Lechem upon him. And they would show those who came to visit the Beis HaMikdash Lechem upon him. The Omrim Lahem, and they would say to the visitors, Ru'uchi Baschem Lifnei HaMokom. Go see how beloved you are before Hashem. Siluko Kesiduro. It's removal. When they would take the Lechem Haponim off on Shabbos, the bread itself, or the loaves themselves, were the same way as they were when they put them on. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Nes Godol Nasa B'Lechem Haponim. There was a great miracle that took place with the Lechem Haponim. Kisiduro, Kach Siluko. Its removal and its placement on the Shulchan were the same. She'nemar, as it says, Lasum Lechem Cham, Biyom Hilakal. It's a pasuk quoted in Sefer Shmuel when David was running away from Shaul and he happened to go into the Beis HaMikdash and they gave him some of the lechem upon him to eat. We said that lechem upon him was hot. So what exactly was the nace? So Rashi tells us, take the pasuk at face value. Shesiluko b'shabes haba cham kiyom siduro. Rashi says that the lechem upon him was as hot as it was when you put it on. So the great nace was that when you took it off, it felt like it came straight out of the oven. Now, Tosos is not going to go with that far of a nace. Tosos says we're not dealing with that type of a nace, but it still is a big nace. Anyways, Tosos says following, Ela decham lo haya, umasha amar ha-pasuk. I'm sorry. Tosos says, le'inyan shehu rach. The nace is that it was soft, that it was still fresh, but not that it was necessarily hot. Ah, we have the pasuk, umash amar ha-pasuk, chom biyom makho. Lav dafka, it's not exactly meaning that. They say that it was really hot. Lav dafka, decham lo hay, it wasn't really hot. Perhaps, Tosa says on the bottom, that what they would do is, you know, when they took it, put it on the shulchan, meaning they had to bake the lechem upon him on Erev Shabbos, obviously. You couldn't bake the lechem upon him on Shabbos. So, what it says is that they would take the lechem upon him, and they would take it out of the oven. When they would place it on the Shulchan Shabbos at morning or early afternoon, it would still be hot, meaning they would keep it in the oven overnight to make sure that it retained its heat. Albeit, Machlokas Rashi and Tosos about whether the nace was that it was still soft or fresh, according to Tosos, according to Rashi, not only was it fresh, but it was also hot. Albeit, whichever way you look at it, that's why they used to move the shulchan. So we see that because they used to take the shulchan and move it out from its position, it was no longer considered to be a kli eitz ha'osu lanachas, because there was this mandated moving. Comes the Mishnah Melech and asks the question. The Mishnah Melech says, according to Rashi and according to Tosos, we have a following diuk. And the diuk that we can make is this. If we're concerned about the Kohanim touching the Shulchan, then there's one thing that's very clear. And what's very clear? That they're not taking the Shulchan outside of the Heichal. Because only a Kohen can go into the Heichal. Yisrael cannot go into the Heichal. Yisrael can go into the Azara. Yisrael cannot go into the Heichal. So from the fact that they are going ahead and taking it out and opening up the doors to the Heichal and showing the Shulchan, and we're only worried about Kohanim touching it, it means that they didn't bring it out of the Heichal. So if they didn't bring it out of the Heichal, how could people actually see this nace? In other words, you're going ahead and telling me that, oh, it's still hot. Oh, it's still soft. You're standing 50 feet away, 60 feet away, sometimes even more. How are you going to know that the lechem upon him is still hot? How are you going to be ahead and showing that nace? So the Mishnah Melech gets like one answer, and this answer will work for Rashi. And the fact is, Rashi said, what was the nace of the lechem upon him? The nace of the lechem upon him was that it was still hot. So the Siach Yitzchak says, not only was it hot, but it was steaming hot, to the point where, when they took it out off the Shulchan, people were actually able to see the steam coming out of the lechem upon him. So once you have that, there's your big nace, and there everybody's able to go ahead and see it. According to Tosos, we still have a question. And you know what, it's perhaps based on this question that we have on Tosos that leads the Rambam to have a slightly different understanding of the Mishnah. Because the Rambam writes, following halacha, v'ficha hayu omrim lahem al tigu b'shulchan. Similarly, like what they said by the Mishnah, they would tell people, don't touch the shulchan when b'shar shemarin osol la'oli regalim, when they used to show it to the people who came up la'aliyah the regal. Kedesh l'yatomib ma'go achar ha'regal. What does it mean when the Rambam says shemarin osol la'oli regalim? Where were the oli regalim going to see it? If it stayed in the Heichal, then how do we have only regalim coming to touch it? Only regalim who, even if they're in Am Haaretz, know that you're not able to go into the Heichal itself. Nobody's going to let them into the Heichal. Ella, it must be that according to the Rambam, they actually used to bring the Shulchan out into the Azara. And when they brought the Shulchan out into the Azara, so then people were able to see the nes of the Lechem upon him, either because it was smoking hot, or because, let's say, it was soft, and they could see the lechem upon him being passed around by the Kohanim, and there the people were warned, don't touch the lechem upon him, don't touch the shulchan, because otherwise it can become tamid. The only question is, we have a requirement of tamid. How does the Rambam shita fit in with the concept of tamid? And the Achrona bring down two answers. One possibility is that, when do we say, what do we consider tamid? Tamid means, and when do we say something is not tamid? When something was not planned to be brought immediately back. But if something is planned to be immediately back, meaning, what did they do? They took the shulchan, they showed it, and they brought it back. So as long as you're bringing it back quickly, so then that's not going to be in violation of the term tamid. Tamid would mean you keep it out for a long time. Now, the truth of the matter is, one could argue and say, well, when you're being tovel it, also, you're not being taking out the shulchan to bring, you know, to show it off and to put in a museum and stuff like that. You're planning to bring it out immediately. So this first opinion would have to say that we're dealing with not just, you know, bringing it out to put back, but rather bringing it out within a certain time frame. The other shita would say that, well, maybe this would be the case. The second shita, the one who brings the objection, who dissents, is going to say that, well, you know, according to this, one might think that bringing it to the mikvah would also be taking it immediately, because again, who are you bringing from the mikvah? You're bringing it to the mikvah and you're bringing it back. So Elo, rather, what were they going to hold? Second sheet will hold that as long as it's within the Azara, as long as it's within the Azara, it has a din of tamid. But once you take it out of the Azara, there no longer is a din of tamid. Okay, so we've answered the Rambam. The Rambam takes care of the question on Tosos, because they used to bring the Shulchan out to everybody. As far as tamid is concerned, either you can say it's a function of a short amount of time, and that doesn't contradict the requirement of Tamid, or you could say that the fact that it's in the Azara doesn't contradict the requirement of Tamid, albeit there was no mikvah in the Azara, that would have contradicted and gone against the requirement of Tamid. But we're still left with Tosfos' question, because Tosfos holds that they kept the Shulchan in the Azara the entire time. Nobody's removing it. So then how would the people see the Lechem upon him? So comes the Ridvaz, and the Sharis and Chivas Ridvaz brought down in his name this answer. And Ridvaz says that Bedavka, they would only do this miracle, not any particular day of Yom Tov, but they would only do this on Shabbos, because we know that on Shabbos, that was the day when they took out the Lechem Hapanim. And what the Ridvaz goes to say is, they would take the Shulchan, and they would take the Lechem Hapanim off the Shulchan, and they would bring the Shulchan, sorry, bring the Lechem Hapanim outside into the Azara, give it out to the Kohanim, the people could see that the Lechem Hapanim is still totally fresh. And that's how people would understand the nace that you have. This is great. One could ask, well, that's perfect. Pesach is 7 days. There's going to be a Shabbos. Sukkot is 7 days. There's going to be a Shabbos. What about Shavuos? So one could give two answers. One could say either when it comes to Shavuos, people either stayed for Shabbos also. After all, Yom HaTeshlumen, right? Shavuos has 7 days of Teshlumen. Or you can say, you know, if you see it on Pesach, you see it on Sukkot, you could assume the same thing would happen on Shavuos also. But the question is then, what does it have to do with moving the Shulchan? So the Ridvaz is going to go on to say, is that what they would do is, they would open up the Heichal, they would move the Shulchan from the right side, from the north side of the Heichal, where it was, to the middle, and show everybody that they're taking the Lechem Hapanim off, so the people know that the Lechem Hapanim that they're bringing out is in fact a Lechem Hapanim that was on the Shulchan all week, and not just some fake Lechem Hapanim that they're taking out from the oven to try to fool everybody. No, rather they would bring that Lechem Hapanim out, and once they brought that Lechem Hapanim out off the Shulchan, they would then move the Shulchan back. That takes care of the problem of Tamid, because it doesn't leave the Azara. That takes care of the problem of only Kohanim touching it, and doing it on a Shabbos, that shows that that takes care of the problem of everybody seeing it, because at that point it was given out to the Kohanim, and the Kohanim walked around showing everybody the nace, which of course showed that Hashem's chiba, Hashem's love for the Jewish people. And that, of course, is something that we have with the Beis HaMikdash. Unfortunately, without a Beis HaMikdash, we still, though, fortunately, right? Meaning, unfortunately, even though we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, fortunately, we still get to experience the chiba and the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us, and may we continue to experience it for many years to come. Kol Tov, have a wonderful day.